Yud Gimel Tammuz, Tuesday the 16th of July, Rabbi Shlomo Ehrlich, the next level, Emunah and Bitochen.
Okay, good morning. I'm going to start with a very interesting concept, interesting story that's going to bring out the concept. I was given a half an hour to speak about Emunah B'Tochen. What exactly could I fit in here? We'll try to make it work. So there was a Yid, Adam Chashev, a very special person. Actually, he's a speaker, a great speaker. Louder. A Yid in Yishalayim, he was driving to the Kaisel on one evening. He lives in the other end, Ramayma somewhere. One night he decided he wants to go to the Kaisel, on Maruvi Yishalayim. As he's driving, there was a couple and a teenage son who were flagging him down, waiting for tram, for a hitch. So he asked the window, where are you going? He said, we're rushing, we need to go to the Kaisel. He says, I'm going to the Kaisel. Like, great, come in. They come into the car, and this couple, the husband and the wife, don't stop talking between themselves, you know, like conversing and saying, wow, thank you Hashem for sending us the ride. We're such a rush, we have to meet someone there, and you sent us a driver, and they're thanking Hashem for the Hashgacha Pratis, for divine providence that it's amazing, they're waiting here for a car, and they're explaining how hard it is. They're telling the driver that we're in a major rush, we didn't have time to call a taxi, a monit, and mamash from this, okay. After 10-15 minutes, this Adam Chashev, turns around and he tells them, by the way, it's amazing that you're thanking Hashem for this whole Hashgacha Pratis that I have come, but I also deserve a thank you. I'm the one that chose to make this, you know. And the father is a Rishalmi, and Chutzpenek, and he says, no, I only have to thank Hashem. We davened Hashem, we said a capital Tehillim, please send us a ride to the Kaisel. And just that moment, you stopped in front of us, you took us, you picked us up. And he says, very good, you have to thank Hashem, but what's with me? I chose, I had Bechira to stop, and not everybody stops to take along a person to the Kaisel. And this person is very persistent, and he goes, oh, no, I don't have to thank you, I just have to thank Hashem. So the driver did what I would do, pulled over to the side and said, leave my car. Said, what do you mean, we're in a rush, come on, stop it. He says, very good, Hashem sent you the first car, but sent you the second car, it's okay, it's fine. And he said, come on, we gotta go, it's late. Or you tell me thank you, or you leave my car. So the father says, thank you. He said, no, I want you to say it with your whole heart. Okay, shkoyach, thank you, todah rabah, very good, okay. They come to the Kaisel. Right before he drops them off, the chutzpenek turns around and says, by the way, I only told you thank you because I wanted the car ride, but really, you don't deserve any thank you. The thank you goes to Hashem only. A confusion. So people are very confused. Do you thank your wife for the food? Do you thank Hashem for the food, right? Obviously, Hashem sends a shaluchim, but at the same time, we're the ones that have bechira, so it's, you know, can we be angry at Hitler or not? You know, it's all Hashem, but at the same time, he still deserves his punishment. It's both. Hashem controls the world. At the same time, the Gemara discusses it. I just want to very quickly, briefly introduce myself. First of all, you all see I'm American. You can probably see my accent. You could probably see. I run an organization in New York and Muncie for teens at risk. That's basically what I do. So I'm very. But these usually the boys that are wanting to come back and starting. So I teach a lot of Muna to these boys, and they're very challenging. They're not just the regulars of the conveyor belt chinuch, as we call it, where everybody is indoctrinated the same way. All of them came back, and they're trying to find an understanding on how Hashem runs the world, and why exactly, how do we know. But I find this very interesting. I'm doing this almost 20 years. I know I might look young. I'm marrying off my daughter over here in London in 2 days from now. Tomorrow night, sorry, Wednesday night. Thank you. So I'm ready, hitting that age. So I'm doing this already almost 20 years. What I find is interesting that today's the teens of today are not asking that many questions. If Hashem exists, bring me proof. Is the Torah true? that part of Amunah, the outside, knowing that Yiddishkeit is the right thing, it's getting better. That's not a question anymore. As the Novi says, Halo Yodato Im Lo Shemato Elokai Olam Hashem. Someone is going to come up to Shemaim and he's going to say, I didn't grow up in a frum home, I didn't know anything. So the Hashem is going to ask him, Halo Yodato Im Lo Shemato, you didn't know that Hashem exists, Elokai Olam Hashem, only because you were taught. Every person, every thinking person should know that there is Hashem. So what are they asking? The struggle in Amunah today is more within Yiddishkeit than the outside, the Yiddishkeit itself. And I think that that's what I'm going to try to put in the next few minutes. Emphasis in the next few minutes. Knowing that Hashem exists is Einzach. Hashgacha Pratis for trying times, for painful times, for painful things. That's where Emunah comes in. When we have the level of nesiyonos of challenges today's days, I mean, I'm sure you could all attest to that, that it changed in the last, it became very difficult. Health issues, panasa issues, shidduchim issues, and all kinds of, you know, children going off the derech. There's so many different challenges that every family is faced with today. I think we all agree that it's becoming very tough. Someone to save it has to be Moshe Mashiach before Chevle Leida, Chevle Mashiach. It's going to be hard times before Mashiach is going to come. I don't know exactly, but we know that there are challenging times. And when things do not go the way we want it, we have pain or whatever it is, that's when we start saying, Hashem, why did you do it to me? What? That's when the Yamuna and the Betochen of a person starts getting challenged. As a quick note, the difference between Amunah and Betochen has been discussed many, many times between the Rishonim and the Achronim. Chassidus Shesurim have one take, the Chazon Ish has a different take, but that's a whole, what is Betochen? But the way I see Amunah and Betochen really, Amunah is when you know, you have a knowledge, and you know that Hashem exists, you know that Hashem runs the world and everything. Betochen is when you feel it. You don't just know it as a knowledge. You feel it. It's in your essence. Let me explain. If a person is going through a financial issue, let's say, and they're struggling all their life, they know Hashem runs the world, and they daven more, they say, Hashem, please, I need parnas, I need to marry a child, I need to do this. Whatever you need to do, just I need to have money, I need to have parnas to pay tuition for my children, the camps, now we all, the summer, whatever it is. But when it comes to the challenge itself, are we nervous? Do we feel nervous or not? A person can say, have a munah, that's great. But when it comes down to it, sometimes our bodies react, we become anxious, we become pained, whatever. That's when we know, do we really have it or not? I mean to say like this, when a mother tells the child, don't touch this pot on the stove, right? Don't touch it, it's hot. And the child, it's hot. And the child knows that it's, the mother said that the pot is hot, or the pot is hot. Then they believe the mother. They know that they cannot touch it. But if the child goes and touches it, and gets a burn, that's when they really know it. That's called, when the betochen, even they know it through and through. It's not just a knowledge, it's when they felt it. Or the way Rabbi Victor Miller used to call it, there's emuna sichlis, and there's emuna chushes. Exactly. When it's emuna chushes is betochen, really. When you feel secure, betochen means when you feel secure. Emuna is when you know it. We know that there was in the Torah, where does it say, Vayaminu b'Hashem u'Moshe avdo? It was after they knew. They saw all the Nisim and Mitzrayim, they saw the Eser Makas, they saw everything, they saw Kriyas Yamsev, and that's what said, Vayaminu b'Hashem. The problem is that we usually translate the word Amuna into belief, and it's not a it's not a legal translation, it's not the same word. Amuna is also knowing. And Yediyah is knowing. V'yedato ha'yom v'shavoy salvech, we just said before by Elena Shavach. V'yedato ha'yom v'shavoy salvech, you should know and you should put upon your heart and your system and your Amuna suchlis and Amuna chushes, you should know that Hashem elekim. So where does Amuna come in? What is Amuna and what is Yediyah? What is knowledge and what is Amuna? There's I remember I was once sitting with one of the boys that I was, you know, conversing back and forth. We had And he didn't want to agree with me that there is such a thing, that you have to know that Hashem exists and Hashem runs the world. You have to believe, it always comes to believe. I said, okay. And I don't know if we're here in England, but in America, when a guy says, I believe it's going to rain today, right? It's like, I'm assuming. It's like a, it's not a, the word belief does not represent knowing or for fact. It's more like a, it's an assumption. I believe it's the stocks are going to go up, right? So the word belief cannot translate literally the word amuna. So what is amuna and what is the idea? To give a quick anecdote, there was a, if someone would ask you, have you ever been to Australia? Say no. Do you know there's such a place? You would say yes. How do you know there's such a place as Australia? What if everybody knows? Have you seen it? Have you felt it? Your five senses? How do you know it? Everything we know in our brain is through our five senses. Our brain is locked in this cage. The only way I know what's happening around me is through my five senses, seeing, hearing, tasting, feeling, and smelling. There's no other way of knowing. Have you seen Australia? No. Are you ready to bet $1 million that Australia exists? And everybody would say yes. You're ready to, whatever, give you life? Yes. So how do we know Australia exists? We know it through believing so many different sources that it became a knowledge. It's not a knowledge through that I saw it. In America they say, seeing is believing. No, seeing is knowing. But they say, seeing is believing. I haven't seen Australia, but I know for a fact it exists. Because, you know, whenever you go to the airport, you're going to see the screens, you know, planes are coming. People are coming. People are telling you, I've seen the currency. You see in the news, the president, this Google Maps, right? There's so many ways it became a knowledge. And I'm ready to risk my life. I'm ready to bet my life on it.
People believe in other religions, there's millions of them, they also believe, and they're wrong.
Right. Oh, what's the difference between other religions where there's also a billion people and they believe? Right, but they all believe one person. It's based on, that's a conversation on its own, but basically all the religions other than Yiddishkeit is where they say that I have to believe one person, let's say, I have to believe Muhammad that he is a prophet of Hashem. Right? So they all believe him, this person. But us, the Klal Yisrael, we were in Mount Torah. There was approximately 3 million people, and we all saw Mount Torah. We all heard Hashem. It's a very different. But basically, Australia is a very good, is a good mashal. So I know for a fact Australia exists through believing so many sources that make sense. It cannot be that if I drive now down to the airport, I'm going to see. I can't believe that someone is faking and putting into the computer every day that there's flights and every single airline is faking with me and the currency. There's just too many ways it is a fact. That's called Amunah. Yediyas Hashem. Yediyah is means that I know it for a fact through because I actually dealt with a guy. You know, someone could say, do you believe that person? Amunah could be more like trusting. Right? So someone, if someone is very trustworthy, the whole neighborhood knows that this person, whenever he says a word, is a word. It's like, you know, the way it used to be, a word is like he signed an affidavit, like it became a real thing that you know for a fact that this person becomes very trustworthy or trusting. Then you know for a fact this person is going to pay you back a loan, let's say, this yeshiva, whatever it is. So Amunah, for the next level, Amunah, I think we should. I before I came to speak, I want to show the audience, but I realized that the most tzibur over here, Baruch Hashem, probably has einiklach that they could, they want to hear from you, hear from the fathers or from the zaydus. How's it given over Amunah? How's it given over the Yiddishkeit from the zaydus, the einiklach, and it's given over generation to generation. Used to remember the alti in the altaheim and given over. And I think that this is something that Amunah cannot. The part of Amunah, not Yediyah. Yediyah could be given over. Amunah is given over by your being a Yid, by your being a believer, being a Ma'amin Bashem. You're giving it over your children and your Einik Lecha, seeing your life. You come every day to Shul, you go and you daven and you fast, or whatever you do, everything for Yiddishkeit, this is given over to the children. So Amunah, in today's generation, the way I see it, for the youngsters and for the next generation, Amunah is always the same. The way we package it has to change a little bit. The packaging, the marketing, right? If you went to the grocery just 50 years ago, you wanted to buy a ketchup, there was like a black and white sticker that said ketchup, and this, now it has to be marked, it has to be nicely, the nicer, you know, you have like, probably here also in New York, you could go into a grocery. I once counted on my children, I think it's like 15 companies, different types of ketchup. You know, go to Muncie, one of these big stores, and mayonnaise, you have like from every, which one do you grab off the shelf? Some people look for the better price. Or some people are very specific about a company. The other ones, it's all about the marketing. This, you know, it looks, it looks like a nice coloring, the ketchup, like a nice, and that's the one you'll take. For today's generation, the way we market Emuna, the way we give it over, the way we package it is very, very important. And this is something that has to be very made exciting for the new generation. It has to be, the world out there at large looks very colorful and looks like, as if the world is like, and we're coming with this black and white Gemaras, and we're coming with a Yiddishkeit, it seems like too many rules and laws and the way we live. It has to be packaged better a little bit to give over to the next generation that Yiddishkeit is like a Shmakazach. Yiddishkeit is it's a lifestyle. So again, as I said before, Emuna, today's generation, is not so much they're asking, is there Hashem? Does Hashem believe? Is there, even atheism fell apart. I mean, the real people that know, the biggest atheists around the world today are, they're becoming more agnostics rather than atheists, because they realize this whole Big Bang theory and the world came on its own. It's a mistake. The world is a mistake. It's not accepted anymore by the youngsters today, by the Goyish youngsters. They have to start with new things. So now they started more agnostic. They say, I don't know. It's more the I don't know type of anti-religion that is out there. But we are the ones that are giving over to our children, generation to generation, that we saw our Zaydas and Elter Zaydas and given over back from Matan Torah. And this is something that has to be given over with an excitement and a happiness. And what do? We tell the kids today, and we and our Einikas when they come, we just talk about the quality of life of a Ben Torah. The quality of life of a Yiddish house. Torah and Yiddishkeit is exciting in this world. It's something that lasts. It's all about lasting happiness. It's the whole family value and the community value and the whole everything that's given over is a very... it's a happy place. It's a happy thing to be a from Yid. It's not just about rules. We always say that there are people that have 613 problems they need to solve, and then there are others that have 613 privileges that they have. So, if it's given over, I have to go to shul now. I have to do this. I have to do that. The Pesach, the matzah is so expensive. If that's our sprach, if that's how we talk, if that's how we're given over, the children of the next generation, they feel like it's a burden. The whole Yiddishkeit is a burden. But if you give it over, it's an excitement. Baruch Hashem, we have a schus that Hashem wants me to eat matzah. All right, it costs extra. Who wouldn't spend more money for a better car? Who wouldn't spend more money for a better life to be yid? Matzah, sagitazach, and everything. It's given over with an excitement, with a happiness. The children are going to enjoy and appreciate Yiddishkeit. And to see that Yiddishkeit is good on this world and it's good on the world to come. And this is something that I think is very important for this generation. It's all about the packaging. Has to be given over in a very colorful way and an exciting way that the children should enjoy and appreciate. And looking forward to give it over for their children until Mashiach is going to come very soon, that we should have the Emuna imprinted within us. I want to share with you that... I was once sitting, Thursday night we make like shishi sometimes. We sit together with the boys, we make like a kumzitz to make exciting, and then in between we shmooz, I say shama shtekel shmiz over there for these boys that I work with. And sometimes it gets into very heated conversations, you can imagine, like they challenge me in the back and forth and how this and that. A lot of these boys that I work with come from very, very, ultra Hasidic homes, ultra where it was given over to them. Yiddish guy was so many chumras and extras and this and that, and levush was so important to the parents and this and that. And if they changed something, to them it became such a burden. This Yiddish guy, and they leave the whole. They don't realize they're dropping the whole geschmack in Yiddish guy, and they're very stuck in these outer things. Sometimes we have to be careful not to be stuck on. But us, this is very important. You know, certain things we get like a certain stubbornness on the wrong thing. It could trigger the young generation to the opposite way. It becomes like we need to focus on giving over a minute in Yiddishkeit. We're still over here. I'm coming to London over here. And the different places, you go around the whole world, this Fulmet Yiddish community is such a beautiful, thriving community. And all over the world, these are all given over to us with a geschmack. Whoever was not given over Yiddishkeit with a geschmack, with a happiness, you could be very logical, you could give 1,000 explanations and bringing proof that Hashem exists, you could bring a proof that it's not going to be good enough. It's the way we live, we're living. We're happy to be here. That's a simcha, and we sing Shabbos by the table and all kinds of giving over Yiddishkeit with a geschmack. Our children are going to love to be here, and they're going to be proud Jews, and they're going to let Hashem give it over to the next generation. And that's how we're still here. We're giving over with a simcha. We all know the Baal Shem Tov just 300 years ago when he came in, when he was sent by Hashem. It was a huge neshama, and he came in this world to spread Yiddishkeit and to revive. It was after Gezeiras Tachvatat, it was after Shabbat Tzvi times, it was very trying times in Russia where he lived the whole, and in Valin, whatever the neighborhood. It was very challenging to be a Frum Yid in those days. And he could have come into the shul and give the Baal HaMussar used to come and give Musar and say, you're going to go to hell, to Gehenim, if you do this, if you don't do that. And the Baal Shem Tov said, we have to stop this, we have to start teaching Yiddishkeit. He brought in the singing and the geschmack and good food and good Shabbos again, and everything should be with an excitement, with a simcha, and this is the only way it's going to give an over. And I think that it still exists, and this is something that we have to give over to next year. You don't have to be Hasidish to do this, okay? To give over, Yiddishkeit should be with a happiness, with an excitement, and never, you know, sometimes we sleep and we say, ah, kosher food is more expensive, or like, that's not something that's gonna do it. We have to give over more a positive and exciting Yiddishkeit, and I think that that's what's going to be. But the actual Amunah does not have to be debated that much with today's teenagers. They're not really, again, if you have someone that you have questions on Hashem, you send it to the right people. There's, I remember, I think I'm here in London, the SEED, right? There's SEED, there's different types of organizations, right, still exist? Different types of organizations that deal with someone else's questions, you know, if I care to you. If you have a question, there's answers to everything. But most children today, most teenagers today, are not really asking questions on Hashem. Does Hashem exist? On Torah, is Torah true? They're asking, within Yiddishkeit, how do I live practically? How could I make the Yiddishkeit not take me away from my Gashmias? The youngsters today want to have the nice cars, they want to have parnasa, and they want to be rich and be a Frum Yid. And if we could teach it to them, that it's faket, it works together. Hashem wants you to be Matzliach. Hashem wants you to enjoy this world also, and Hashem made it for us to enjoy. And Hashem wants you to have nice stuff and nice things within the parameters of the Torah, within the laws, the way that Hashem has given us the world, if I care. And if you have rules and you have ways, this is what makes it, this is what's going to make Yiddishkeit more exciting, and that's how they're going to want to accept it. But if we tell them, you're not allowed to do this, you can't have this, you can't have that, it's not important, the main thing is Olam Haba, yeah, it is, but not everybody's ready to live that way. We have to understand that we have to be very practical and down to earth, that the youngsters today, they want to be able to be matzlich and parnasim, be matzlich and everything in their ways. And it's not a steer with Yiddishkeit, it's not a contradiction to Yiddishkeit. Fakert, Hashem wants you to be matzlich. If you package it that way, they're going to accept it. They're going to want to see. There's always going to be, as the Medrash says, Elev Nachnusim LeTalmud VeEchad Yotze. There's 1,000 going to Beis Medrash to learn. VeEchad Yotze, one comes out. How many came out to be a Rebbe Akiva? How many? Out of the thousands of students, of thousands of Tamidim from all the... There's always going to be a few people coming out that are going to be dedicated and devoted their whole life, 24-7, learning and davening. But is it realistic for a whole generation that everybody has to sit and learn all their life from morning to night? So that doesn't work that way. People need to be maslich parnasa. People need to be maslich in different ways. And if it's not challenging their Yiddishkeit, they're going to enjoy Yiddishkeit as well. I think that this is going to be a very exciting thing for them. I want to be Messiah with this. I remember talking about one of the conversations, and one of the Bachman asked me, why was it Kofa Laim Har Kegigas, right? We know that for Matan Torah Hashem, Matan Torah Hashem took the mount of Kofa Laim Har Kegigas, he forced upon them heart, the mountain, as if you're not going to accept the Torah is good, if not, I'm going to bury you alive, right? You know, how does it work together with Nasa v'Nishma? The Yidden are the ones that said Nasa v'Nishma. What happened? Why did Hashem have to force us to accept the Torah when we accepted it on our own? By the way, before I answer this, we see something interesting. The Medrash says that Hashem, before He gave the Torah, He told the Malach to take the Torah and to go to all the nations. You want to accept the Torah? And He came to England and He asked, do you want to be Mekabel the Torah? It says, Chayesh, I don't know the weakness of it. Huh? So he went to different nations and everybody said, what maksiv by? What does it say in the Torah? And the Chvais for the Arabs, he said, Leisinov. So he said, Leisinov. They said, no, that's our challenge. That's too difficult. We're not accepting Torah. Went to every nation, and they all said no. Shem came to Klal Yisrael, and we said, Nasa v'Nishma. First, we're going to do it, and then we're going to hear Maksiv by. So the question is, why did the Malach always answer the people, the Tsar of that nation, Dafka, the thing that they were struggling with? Shem said, bring your Torah. Hashem is giving you a Torah. He wants you to have this whole lifestyle. You should live with the Torah. And it says, Blesinov, Blesignov, Blesachmoid. Why did he have to give it to them and like nip them in the bud, as they say? Like, why did he have to say that? And why did Klal Yisrael say? The Malach answered them according to their question. They right away said, Ma kesiv bai? What are the terms and conditions? God wants to give me a Torah, He wants to give us a Bible. Fine, very good. What does it say in there? So you right away to answer them something that they were struggling with. Yidden, when it came to the Yidden, we didn't ask Mak Sivbai. The Medrash says we didn't ask Mak Sivbai. What does it say in there? We said, wow, we realized that it's a relationship that Hashem wants to have with us. And therefore we said, Hashem wants to have a relationship with us, that's why He gave me Torah. He gave me a lifestyle, the way I should live, what I should connect to Him, how I should... That's amazing, of course I'll accept it. Now tell me, what does it say? I need to know what to do. It says, Shmir Shabbos, Signal, whatever, everything it says in the Torah. The Goyim didn't realize the nations were not ready to accept the relationship to Hashem. To them it was a technical thing. If it's a technical thing, yeah, it's going to be very difficult to keep the Torah. But if we realize it's a relationship between us, Ruz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'Zakas Es Yisrael, L'Fichach Hir B'Lehem Torah Mitzvahs. Hashem wanted to have a relationship with us. He wanted to give us chusim. So He said, do this, do that for me. Put on tefillin every morning. We know why we put on tefillin. It's very nice that you have Shema in the heart, in the brain, the moich. Very nice. But why do we put on tefillin and tzitzis? Because Hashem gave us a means how we could connect Him and how we could... So we realize that the Torah and the mitzvahs is a relationship between us and Hashem. And that's an exciting thing. Hashem, the Creator and the King of the whole world, is interested in me. A little me, wake me up every morning, he wants me to say a brach, he wants me to put on tefillin, he wants me to put on tzitzis. It's amazing. It's a huge self-esteem booster. To know that Hashem is interested in me, and He gave me a means, a way to connect. And therefore, Klal Yisrael said, of course, Nasa v'Nishma, give me the Torah. Give it to me. Okay, we'll look in the back. In the, you know, they say when you apply for a credit card, probably here in England as well, you know, in the back, there's like the tiny lines, you know, the terms of the fine lines in the back where they write everything.
Small print.
The small print, right? That's when you start seeing, oh, this and that, the APR, everything is different. So basically, we realize that the Torah is 613 privileges of the way we can connect Hashem, and it's not 613 problems that we need to solve. So why did Hashem have to make Kufalayim Har Kegigas? Why did He have to do that? And the answer to that is, a Kapitel Tillim says, we said, Lahagid baboyker chazdecha, veminoscha balelos. Lahagid baboyker chazdecha, to say and to speak and to baboyker when it's morning, when it's light, chazdecha, the chesed from Hashem. Vemuna, when do we have a muna? Balelos, when it's dark. So the Chassid Shasurim say, Rabbi Talmud writes, and Nifisurim says, Lahagid baboyker chazdecha, when it's boyker, when it's light, when it's morning, when we have clarity. Is then lahagid baboyker chazdecha? We constantly go around praising Hashem, thank Hashem for this, thank Hashem for that, and we thank Him with daven, and we say the brachas with an excitement because it's boyker, it's good. We have when everything it's good, life is good. Balaylois, When it's dark, when it's foggy, when we don't see, when we're in a challenging moment, and things don't go so well, we have problems, with challenging, with pain, whatever it is, then we have to have a munah when it's dark. So Hashem said for Klal Yisrael, it's very good that you accepted the Torah, and you didn't even say Mak Sivba. You accepted the Torah as is. You said Nase and then Nishma. First, we're going to hear it's very good because you had clarity. It was the Hagid Baboyke Chazdecha. You were just coming out of Mitzrayim, of bondage from Mitzrayim. You saw the Nisim, you saw the Makis in Mitzrayim, you saw Kriyas Yamsim. You said Nase and Nishma, beautiful. But down in the generations, there's going to be tough times. What is going to keep you then? How are you going to have a Menoscha Balaylas? How are you going to have a Muna? How are you going to hold on to the string of Amunah, connected to Hashem, even Balaylas, when it's dark, when it's painful, when it's not good? That's why Hashem made Kufalayim Harki Gigas. We need to have Ahava and Yira. We need to have love, and we need to have fear. Right? We can't raise our children, we have to give them much more love, but they need to know that there has to be consequences, if they don't do. Because there's times when a person is not in a clear moment. With the only thing that keeps us when we're not clear, and when we're in a challenging time, is that we have a fear of Gehenna. We have to have Gan Eden and Gehenna. We have to preach Gan Eden, and we're living for Gan Eden. We're living for Gan Eden in this world, Gan Eden in the next world, to connect to Hashem, get close to Hashem for the Simcha, all the good stuff. But we need to know that if we don't do it, we are going to be there's consequences. Why? No, there should be balance, because in the moment when a person is not here, the only thing that they could keep them is the knowledge. We know what Hashem says like this. Alles geht dich geht. You have a good life. Everything is good. I know you'll say Nase v'nishma. When you have a challenge, when it doesn't go that way, it's the Och Wissen, Kufalayim Harki Gigas. Hashem wants us to keep the Torah, even in the moments that when we're not, you know, like some people are, it's good to go to shul, we're happy, we're excited, we do everything when it's a geit git. When there's challenging times, then we need to know what's pushing a person to do the right thing when things do not go the way they want. They have a fear of consequences at the finish. So Hashem should help that we should, for ourselves, or for our children, for our einiklich, we should give them over a very, very happy and geschmacke, warm Yiddishkeit, with simcha and excitement. And they should want to accept it with a, it should always be, lahagid baboyke chazech, we should never have to come to a situation of menoscha balaylas.